that image of the river in the first reading is kind of determines all three readings today. The river is baptism. The river is the Red Sea. You know, they had been drawn through the Red Sea in this kind of baptismal experience with an absolute transformation of life from the old life of sin and death and slavery to the new life of freedom. But it was difficult for them to accept the new life because the future is always unknown and it's always fearful. And so they have this lifelong journey, pilgrimage to the promised land, in which they gradually let go of the old way of life and are prepared to embrace the new. And so now they've already crossed the River Jordan. They're in Israel, and they've conquered several of the tribes, and they're living among the Canaanites now. And Joshua, Moses' successor, puts the question to them. Are you going to serve the old gods on the other side of the river, the Egyptian gods? Are you going to serve the Canaanite gods on this side of the river? Or are you going to cross over into some kind of transformation, into a new life and acceptance of the only real one God? And they say, yes, we are. But it wasn't as simple as that. You know, this is a kind of a encapsulated story, but it was a lifetime. It was 40 years that it took them to come to grips with this. All the miracles that God worked for them in Egypt, they had forgotten. Because that's what humans do. We forget. And Jesus says in the gospel today, what if you were to see the Son of Man rising up to where he came from? And when Jesus asked that question, he knows that that wouldn't be proof for some of them. It isn't about proof. It isn't about argumentation. It's about faith. And that's why Jesus says, no one can come to me except the Father draws him or her. Faith is something that comes from God. It isn't something we decide or we are evaluating all the different options and we hear this argument and that argument. We see this miracle and that proof. And then we decide. It's a miracle. It's a gift, faith. And so Jesus is, in these last four Sundays we've been reading from the sixth chapter of John, the Bread of Life discourse, and it just gets deeper and deeper and more fantastic and more hard to believe. And now we hear people walking away and abandoning him and going back to their former way of life, crossing the river back the other way because they can't accept this new revelation, this new life that is still largely unknown to them. And the way Jesus puts it in these radical terminologies about being the bread come down from heaven, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You know, it begs the question, what is life? And what's real life and what's an illusion? And Jesus is telling them, everything else is an illusion. This is the real life. God has come into human flesh so that you might see God, so that you might experience God in a human way. But the reading this morning suggests that the Eucharist really is the culmination of the incarnation. First of all, God had always, before the world began, had always desired to move into physicalness. And so when he takes on a human body in the incarnation, when Jesus is born of Mary, that's a letting go of something that he had always, for all eternity, had this complete spirit, this complete union with the Father and the Spirit in an unmediated way. And now it becomes mediated through a human body, and there's a kind of a dying, there's a letting go in the incarnation. But the death and resurrection really is not the end of the story. If it were, it would be just an historical event that we would only look at as something in the past. How could it ever be present except for the Eucharist? And so he feeds us with his body and blood. He's as present here this morning as he was in Israel 2,000 years ago, sacramentally. And in the sacrament of the Eucharist, in this sacramental presence of his body and blood, it's always made now. It's not just a past event, it's not history, it's present. And it's available because in the incarnation, God becomes something we can see and touch and hear. But in the Eucharist, he actually comes inside of us. Because this union has been what God always desired. Union with his creatures. And for us humans, that union is willful. You know, we have free will. And we can reject that, and we can walk away, and we can go back to our former way of life, and we can cross another river to something that is an illusion. If we want to, we have that freedom. And God risks that we won't choose God. He makes himself vulnerable on the cross. He makes himself vulnerable in the Eucharist. God never forces. God never shoves his way into us. He invites us into him. And Eucharist is when he comes into us so that we can go into him. But it's more than that. St. Paul in that second reading reminds the Ephesians that this is not just a sacrament. This is not just something that we can do on Sunday. This is something that we live in our daily lives. And marriage, the image that Paul uses here, is one of those places in life where the rubber meets the road, where you have to live this out in the flesh. And you all know that marriage can be hard, and that there are choices that need to be made, rivers that need to be crossed over and over again. You have to keep reconciling, you have to keep forgiving one another, you have to keep submitting yourself to one another, obedient to one another. Because when you got married, you gave up something. You died to a certain self-autonomy and gave yourself over to another and became one flesh with that other person. And that's a dying. That's Christ-like. And Christ is in the center of every marriage, and he sustains through his Spirit that reconciliation, that journey, that sharing of life, that laying down of life. And that's a kind of a microcosm of the whole human community. It's very specific in a family. But the whole human race is the family of God. And so we have to learn how to live in the particular what God has envisioned for the whole world, for the whole human race. The kingdom, the cosmos, the vastness, the infinity of God is lived out in a very specific way this morning in bread and wine, and it's lived out in a very specific way in these families that are gathered here today.